high branches of the trees that shaded them, squirrels chattered at one another. Ryan saw a badger snuffle for roots as it lumbered across a sun-splashed glade. A bobcat, lean and tawny, padded by within 20 paces of them, not even bothering to turn its head in their direction. Bright jays darted and scolded in the bushes that grew thickly from the top of the slope down to the dark water. Jack pointed above them, his keen eyes spotting a golden eagle circling majestically on a thermal over the lake. It was unlike any place any of them had ever known. It seemed close to a mythic idol of peace and serene happiness. Christy lay on her back, one foot crossed over the other, staring around her, relaxing on a soft couch of deep green moss.
What you said, Doc, about how it used to be, was it really like this?
Oh, indeed it was, my dear lady. I swear it was like this. Of course, there were cities. Great winds that soured the land and skies around themselves, blighting the environment. That was the buzzword, environment. But there were limitless billions of acres of unspoiled wilderness.
They were silent for a moment, locked in their own thoughts. Ryan lay next to Christy, and he felt her hand rest on his, warm and loving.
Why keep moving, lover?
What?
Why keep on moving all the time, Ryan? Why not stop? Stop here.
I guess. I don't know.
Up here, the air is like nectar. I recall that from an old vid I once saw. Like nectar. It means sweet and fresh. There's valleys all round here. Fresh water and good timber. We could build us a home.
Us? Who's that, Christy?
You. Me. All of us. We get on well, got the skills. We could settle like they used to on the old frontier. Maybe try and farm some. Run the ridges of this green land, Ryan. Raise us a family one day.
It was out. The words lying in the air between them. Words that both of them had thought about ever since they'd first met. Words that neither of them had said before. Not even whispered during their lovemaking. Or after.
One day, Christy.
One day, lover?
Yeah. One day.
But not yet.
No, not yet.
They camped for the night on the rim and built themselves a small fire from the abundance of fallen branches, lighting it with a pyrotab from JB's capacious pockets. As the light faded, they watched small brown deer come cautiously from the woods to feed, their hooves crunching delicately on the loose pumice that lay everywhere along the slopes, a legacy from the original eruption of Mount Mazama 7,000 years ago. It had been agreed that at dawn they'd split into two groups, one going east around the narrow perimeter trail, the other west. Finnegan was convinced the radio message that had drawn them on from Ginsburg Falls must have come from very close to the lake.
We'll walk easy and take care.
What about guards?
The trader had instilled into them that you always posted sentries. It was universal practice.
Even here?
Ryan was torn. All his senses told him that even in paradise there might be poisonous serpents. But the temptation to succumb to the beauty and peace of the place was overwhelming.
Well, let's let it go a night. Nobody can come up without waking one of us. Not over that loose stone.
Oh, be real good to have a fucking night without having to get up and fucking walk around on guard.
Ryan woke once, disturbed by the charred end of one of the branches falling into the gleaming ruby embers of the fire. Through the lattice of branches of the pines around him, he could see the bland face of the moon shining serenely down. He got up to take a leak at the edge of the clearing, his urine steaming in the cold. His mind was filled with Christie's words about settling down and raising a family. And he remembered Doc's words.
Must have been a hell of a good land.
He quickly rejoined the others, enjoying the best sleep he'd had in ages. They woke to find themselves prisoners. Jack Lauren woke first, disturbed by the faint crunching of boots over the rough pumice. He blinked his eyes open, looked quickly around the clearing where they all slept, and saw that it was still night, with only the cloud-fringed moon casting a pale silver light. The fire had died away to a pile of gray ashes.
Got company, friends.
Jack took the greatest care not to make any hasty movements. Ryan woke next, his one good eye opening. He too looked around while keeping very still.
14.
If he could see that many, then he was almost certain that there were more in the trees around the camp. Lori woke next, sitting up, her hands going to her mouth in shock, when she saw the ring of silent figures in identical uniforms of black plastic that reflected the silver moonlight. JB reacted like Jack and Ryan, simply opening his eyes, taking in what was happening, not taking any risks on getting shot. Squinting in the darkness, his eyes locked on the intruders' weapons. Their blasters were stubby, like machine pistols, with a narrow barrel above the firing muzzle. They probably had some kind of laser-controlled firing system, he thought, but the magazine seemed to hold ammunition, unlike anything the armorer had ever seen. Christy, awake now too, looked calmly at the silent enemy. Her long, brilliantly red hair curled softly and defensively around the nape of her neck, the tendrils brushing her skin. She found it unnerving that it wasn't possible to see the faces of their antagonists, or even determine their sex. Apart from the gleaming black uniforms, they wore long boots with flat heels made of the same plastic material, and their domed helmets had visors that totally concealed their eyes. Finnegan was still snoring on his back, but Jack's voice finally penetrated. Finn's first reaction was to reach for his blaster, but at his movement, every one of the strange weapons veered in his direction. He shrugged his shoulders at the inevitability of it and grinned at the nearest person.
No problem, brother, no fucking problem. Am I right or am I fucking right?
There was no reply. Dr. Theophilus Tanner was the last one in the group to fumble his way back to consciousness, and only when Lori shoved his shoulder.
Too early for communion, Emily, my dear.
He lethargically gathered some shreds of control and sat up. Then, rubbing the sleep from his rheumy eyes, he looked at the silent circle around them.
By the three Kennedys! We are attacked by Death Vader!
He glanced at his puzzled companions.
A famous character from the popular fictions of... I disremember me when it was.
The nearest of the encircling group, with a small crimson flash on the carapace of its helmet, finally spoke.
Come with us. Hostile reactions will be met with ultimate force.
Finnegan looked across at Ryan.
Ultimate force? Does that mean what I think it means?
It does. Let's go.
The Sect guards herded their six prisoners into a tight circle, allowing them to pick up all their arms and possessions, which greatly surprised Ryan. He walked with Christy, looking at the curious creatures that had captured them.
What do you figure?
Androids?
Ryan shook his head. He'd seen androids and read about them, but he knew that nobody around the Deathlands had the skill to make humanoid robots that truly worked.
Could be adapted muties.
Retards?
Maybe Lover, with some kind of electronic voice activators.
The figure with the red stripe on its helmet turned, its blank visor angled toward Ryan and the girl.
Do not speak with no permission to speak.
At first, they walked parallel to the crumbling blacktop that circled Crater Lake. Then they were led down an increasingly steep slope toward the water. The path was extremely treacherous and slippery, but the guards picked their way at high speed, without a single slip.
Ryan, ultrascope enhancers in the visors.
The moon was hidden by the surrounding trees as they drew nearer to the lake, and several times one or another of Ryan's group stumbled and slipped. Each time it happened, the Sect Patrol stopped and watched. It was a singular and creepy experience, since they all stopped at precisely the same millisecond. Eventually, they had all picked their way between the trees and boulders to the water's edge, where five dark green inflatable boats waited. It struck Ryan as a further oddity that not one of the guards had been left behind with the boats. It showed an amazing confidence in their control over the area. Whatever had sent out the patrol clearly ruled the region with total power. Ryan wondered what kind of baron could run a vill like that. The boats had small compact engines that pushed them through the water at an incredible rate in total silence. Apart from the bubbling of the water as it churned under their bows, they could hear nothing.
Heading for island.
A fanciful person might have been tempted to pinch himself to see if he was dreaming this bizarre experience. Ryan trusted himself and his own reflexes. However strange and new things seemed, he knew they had to have an explanation. His main concern was to watch and learn as much as he could. As far as he could judge, they weren't being threatened, just so long as they did what they were told. The fact that they'd been allowed to keep their weapons was a reassuring sign. They landed, and several of the guards climbed out and waited for their captives. Their movements were peculiar, neither fluid nor clumsy, yet not quite human either. The moon had edged behind a bank of scudding cloud, and it was very dark. Ryan could make out a concrete slope that rose 30 yards to a large doorway concealed beneath an overhang of jagged rock. He guessed that it would be difficult to spot, even in daylight. One of the green inflatables was hauled up out of the water, and he noticed to his surprise that it had wheels slung beneath it, making it also usable as a road vehicle.
Follow yellow lines, strip to skin, leave clothes, weapons, check all. Fresh clothes will be issued. Do you read?
Yes, we read you.
He turned to the others.
We got cold cocked by these meaty bastards back there. No point in trying to break for it. Do what they say, and try and keep your eyes and ears on overdrive.
Second warning, unspeak. Third offense leads to termination.
Against the threat of such overwhelming force, they really had no choice but to obey. There was a line seared into the stone, glittering golden, and Ryan led the way along it. A small hydraulic door within the large doorway swung open, and they passed through it, accompanied by the set guards. Doc Tanner trembled like a willow in a stiff breeze, and Laurie had to take his arm to steady him. His eyes rolled, and his teeth chattered.
Lasciate ogni speranza, voi che entrate.
Apart from the local dialect gabble of muties, Ryan had never heard much talk that wasn't in American.
How's that again, Doc?
The Sec Patrol had fallen a few paces behind them, content to shadow and keep the six covered with their strange weapons.
That means abandon all hope, all ye who enter this place.
Fucking cheerful, Doc.
Do not mock, my portly companion. Oh, mock not, ye of little knowledge. Strip off your clothing. Follow the yellow lines. Not yellow stars, lines. Follow them. Through the door, into the bunkers. Poison gas showers for all. Line up to be freed of lice. Into the chambers. Close and bolt the doors. Marks of nails gouged in the stone. Screams, blood and excrement. Stench!
Ryan was worried that Doc Tanner had finally lost what was often a fragile hold on sanity and reality. As they walked, the old man began to chant names in time with their steps. A litany of names. People, places, foreign words with harsh syllables. None of them sounding like any names that Ryan had ever heard.
Belsen, Treblinka, Mauthausen, Ravensbrück, Wucht, Sobibor, Dachau, Auschwitz.
There was something inherently ugly and unpleasant about the pattern of their names. One of the set guards moved in closer, and Laurie tugged warningly at Doc's arm, shutting him up. Ahead loomed the door of what looked like some kind of elevator.
Christy, the place is like a redoubt. Can't be any normal kind of ill.
She shook her head as a command from the sec leader brought them to a halt.
I can feel some real bad chills from this place, lover. By Gaia, but the air's filled with the cold, flat taste of death. We must step carefully.
The heavy mesh gate slid across, and they walked into a massive elevator.
Big enough for a dozen war wags.
Look.
Jack pointed at a tiny notice, less than 3 inches across, pinned to the far wall. JB was nearest, and he stepped closer, peering at it through narrowed eyes. He took off his rimless glasses and polished them on the sleeve of his coat, then put them back on his bony nose and read the notice.
What's it say, JB?
Welcome to Wizard Island.
They descended in the elevator, with only 8 of the visored guards keeping them company. With its walls and ceiling of dulled steel, it wasn't possible to judge how far down they went, but Ryan counted 85 seconds before they stopped moving. At that reasonably fast speed, it meant they were way below the surface of Crater Lake. Once again, he wondered, what kind of complex they'd allowed themselves to be lured into. The door slid back to reveal another dozen or more identical sec men. They all seemed much the same height,